Recording in progress.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So this is a nice set of hadith because it just goes into more detail about how to do wudu. The actual details of how you do wudu. So we mentioned before that there's evidence to show you can do the washings one time or two times or three times. And these are just the specific narrations which show that. Okay, so the first one is saying that you can wash the body parts one time only. And that's from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet ﷺ performed wudu by washing the body parts only once. Okay. So the Shaykh was just explaining that the number of washings can be one time, or two times, or three times, and there are proofs for each of them, okay, which we'll do shortly, okay. And it's also there's also proof for doing different numbers for different parts of the body in the same wudu. Specifically, there's like doing some parts two times and other parts three times in the same wudu. So you can chop and change, basically. Okay. And also we had the hadith earlier, which was mentioned where you take the water and then you wash the face. That was one time mentioned. That also illustrates that you can do it one time. And also the hadith about doing a light wudu, and from the aspects of it being a light wudu is you just do it once. Okay, so there's lots of proofs that you can just wash everything one time. Okay. And then the next hadith, so it's just a similar sort of hadith where washing the body parts twice. So this is narrated by a different Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, and he said the Prophet ﷺ performed wudu by washing each part of the body two times. Okay. And so there's another hadith by the same companion, where he actually, in that hadith, he mentions two and three times for different parts of the body, okay? And he also explains about how you wipe the head. So that will come later with more detail in it. Okay. Okay. Okay, so the next thing is about, so I just want to make it a bit more interactive. Have you got like some kind of jug or something? So imagine you don't have taps, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine that if you were to do it as the companions were doing it. Like what you need is just 1 second.
Something which has got a wide neck.
So this is just for illustrative purposes only.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you imagine that imagine this was slightly bigger, you could put your hand in. Yeah. So they didn't have taps, right? So they'd have just a jug of water or a container of water, probably bigger than that. And then they'd make wudu. So if you just wanna, could you mime, like, if you're doing a full wudu three times? I mean, not, you don't have to fully do it. But what do you do first? Just sort of mime it out.
Myself.
Yeah. Sit down, it's easier. I'm going to ask you questions to make sure you actually understand what you're doing, okay? So just, and you can talk as you do it. So what do you do first?
First,
yeah.
My hand.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah. Okay, so just stop there. So is that an obligatory part of the wudu, or what exactly?
Well, three times is it? The hands.
Just the hands at the beginning? Is that actually obligatory?
Yes.
So it's not obligatory, okay? So the first time when you wash your hands, that's not actually obligatory. In fact, that's not actually part of the wudu as such. Okay. And then what would you do next then? So imagine it's a big container, so it's bigger than that, so you can actually put your hands in.
Yeah.
So what would you do?
I do hands.
So you've done your hands
then I get
three times,
like
yeah?
This.
So you put your hands in, you put your hands into the container, yeah? And then what would you do?
Get some water.
Okay. So just to go back to the hands, so when you wash your hands three times, that's not obligatory, and that's really just to clean your hands before you put your hands into the container so that you don't contaminate the container. Okay? There's another hadith which we'll cover later where it says when you wake up from sleeping the night, then that three washings is obligatory. Yeah, for the hands, okay? Because you don't know where you might put your hand in the night. So it might be on some sort of something dirty or something. Okay, now go on then, that's fine, yeah? So you've done your hands and then just go through that then, yeah? The next step?
Mouth and nose.
Yeah, okay.
And then face.
So mouth and nose, again, more detail. Yeah, so if you're doing the complete...
Both in one...
The complete fullest
handful,
form. Yeah.
And then do that three times.
Yeah, and then you gargle. Yeah, so when you take the water in your mouth and you gargle it and then spit it out and then suck it up your nose and then blow it out. That's all one time. And then you do that again. So gargle and then nose, yeah? Yes, that's part of it, yeah. Yeah. So the gargling and sucking in and blowing out, that's all
is
obligatory.
That,
I don't think you have to do that, yeah. But you have to gargle
around.
Swishing
it
around, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you put your hand in with your right hand, you do that three times, okay? Then the next.
Then you do your face.
Yeah. Okay. How many
times?
Three times. And then what's the boundaries of the face?
Like from hairline up to ears.
Yeah.
To
the jaw, to the bottom, to the edge of the jaw, if you like, yeah?
So here.
Yeah, to the edge of the jaw, to the chin, and the edge of the jaw around. Okay, obviously it's different if you've got a thick beard, but that's in principle what you cover. Okay. Then next.
Then, you run your hands over your head.
See.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
so then you would get water to your right arm.
Now, is it okay if I say, okay, I'm going to just wash from my wrist to my elbow, is that okay? No. So now, that hand washing at that stage is now the obligatory washing. So the washing is from the fingertips to the elbow three times, in this case, because we're doing the full complete one, yeah? Then next.
Same with your left.
Yeah.
Then you wipe your head.
Yeah. Okay, and there's more detail, but I don't think it's... there are probably other hadiths which we'll cover later on. But how do you wipe your head? Exactly.
I think front to back.
Yeah. So there's different ways. One of the ways which I just checked now, but you start from the front, and you go back to the hairline at the back, and then back again to the front. Okay. But there's probably variations on that, so we'll learn that. Okay. And then obviously you do.
Then you do your ears.
Yeah. Inside and outside. Yeah. Okay. And then so that's one wiping. That counts as one wiping. You don't wipe three times. And likewise with this, you don't wipe this three times, it's just one wiping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay? And then?
Then you do the right foot three times.
Yeah.
Three times, like all between
the
toes.
Yeah, between the toes and up to the?
Up to the ankle.
Yeah. And don't miss out any little bits, right? Because there's a hadith about that. Okay, that's it. And is there anything you do after? You could do after the wudu as well.
Save the
dua. Yeah, the dua. So I'll probably mangle it if I say no, but... But yeah, there's a dua as well. And anything else you can do as well? This is all super obligatory. Yeah, you can do two rak'ahs, okay? So obviously either you'll go ahead and just pray your sunnah mu'akkada or the fard prayer, but you can do two rak'ahs for wudu, specifically just on account of doing wudu, okay? And that's obviously a sunnah in itself, okay? Or a nafl in itself. And what's the reward for doing that?
If you do it properly without thinking of anything else,
yeah.
Then all your past sins.
Yes, exactly. And does that include every single type of sin?
I don't think major sins.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you deal with major sins?
You have to ask forgiveness specifically.
Yeah, you have to specifically make tawbah. Good. Good, that's excellent, mashallah. So that's just like an overview. I thought it would make it more interesting. But that point is important about the first washing is not, it's just a sunnah when you wash your hands. And then, unless you've woken up from the night. And then the full washing for the forearm includes the hand. And that's obligatory, yeah? Okay, good.
If you wash your hands in the beginning, then you still have to wash them again, don't you?
Allahumma. But I mean, I guess as long as you've washed all the bits, but it's better to do it as close as you can. And you could also argue that if you've got a tap, then the risk isn't there that you know, you're not going to contaminate the water container, are you? But I mean, it's better to just follow it, so just wash your hands and do it. Okay, so this just explains that that in detail. Okay, so this is like a fullest complete kind of wudu. So this is the slave of Uthman radiallahu anhu called Humran, and he said, I saw Uthman ibn Affan asking for a container of water, and when it was brought, he poured, so he tilted it as it were, he poured it over his hands and washed them three times. Then he put his right hand into the container and he rinsed his mouth and washed his nose. So he gargled and then he sucked the water in and blew it out, okay? Then he washed the rest of his face and his forearms up to the elbows, or his arms from the fingertip. Literally it's yad in Arabic, yeah? So yad includes all of that, okay? Up to the elbows three times. Then he wiped over his head, and then he washed, including this as well, because that's part of the wiping, okay? And then he washed his feet up to the ankles three times. And also you should put your finger between the toes as well. That's mentioned in other narrations as well, yeah? And then he said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anyone performs wudu like that of mine and offers a two raka'ah prayer, a nafl prayer, during which he does not think of anything else, he's not distracted by anything else, then his past sins will be forgiven. Okay? So mashallah, it's a very big reward in that, okay? And there's another hadith, another similar narration. After doing the wudu, Uthman said, I'm going to tell you a hadith which I would not have told you unless I had been compelled by a specific ayah. And then the person who was narrating said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ. Indeed, those who conceal what we have sent down. So you must not conceal knowledge if you have it, yeah? So that's why he felt he had to mention it. And he said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, if a man performs wudu perfectly and then offers the compulsory prayer in congregation, Allah will forgive his sins committed between that prayer and the next prayer. Okay? Okay, good. So the point Bukhari is getting out of this is washing the parts of the body three times while doing wudu, okay? So the face, so mouth, nose and face, the hand up to the elbow, wipe the head one time, and then feet you wash three times. And that's the most complete form of wudu, okay? If you do more than three, is there anything wrong with doing more than three?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why?
It's fine.
Yeah, okay. So what's the general? Yeah, exactly. So if you remember clearly, what's the actual hadith or the proof that shows that you can't add anything extra? So even if we didn't have that, the next narration which I'm going to show you, what's the proof in general terms that it's good to?
Is it every?
Yeah. That's one hadith. Yes, that's one hadith. Yes, kulla bidatin dalala. وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. But there's another hadith which the scholars like to use, and I mentioned that in one of the WhatsApps, I think. If you memorize it, it's quite good in English at least. And if you can do it in Arabic, it's even better. Yeah? So مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever innovates into this matter of ours something which is not from it, then it is rejected. And another hadith, another variant narration, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our command, then he will have it rejected. So that means the one who initially invents it, it will be rejected. And even if someone follows the first person, من عمل عملا, who simply does it, he will still also be rejected. Okay. So the default rule, which all the scholars, well, all the Muslims, inshallah, and all the scholars agree upon, is that with regards to ibadah, everything is disallowed unless you have a proof. Okay, and for worldly matters, everything is allowed unless you have a proof to show it's haram. Okay. So even if you didn't have any other proof, if you did more than three, that would be wrong. Okay, but there's actually a specific narration from Abu Dawood that if you do more than three, فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَظَلَمْ, then you have done wrong and you've oppressed. Okay, so that's wrong. And some people who might be affected by waswas and this kind of thing, they this is like a condition, I suppose they might do more and more and more.
Just but, to be sure.
Yeah, and that's wrong, obviously. Obviously they might have a condition, but it prevents you going down that road if you follow the thing of three. Yeah? Okay? So this is what he was saying, that the initial washing of hands is mustahab before you dip them into the container, unless we wake up from sleep in the night, and we'll cover that in a hadith coming up. Then he put his right hand in, and then he took water in his mouth and nose, gargling, sniffing up and spit, blowing out, okay? And it was one handful, okay? And then the Sheikh said that the wisdom behind this is that obviously you're cleaning it physically, but obviously you're about to recite the Quran and make dhikr. So it's a way of cleansing it and preparing it for that sort of noble function that you're about to do, okay? Then you wash the face, the rest of the face. Then the yad, as I said, yad in Arabic includes the whole thing from fingertips up to the elbow, and that's the obligatory washing. Then you wipe the head, as we said, from front to back and back to the front again. But there may be more detail on that later. And then the feet up to the ankles. So that's it, yeah? And then, as you said, if you pray two raka'ahs, then your previous sins are forgiven. And this is referring to the minor sins, okay? And the proof for that point is this hadith from Sahih Muslim. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the five daily prayers, and from one Jummah to the next Jummah, and from Ramadan to Ramadan, are expiation for the sins committed between them, as long as you avoid the major sins. Okay, and there are also ayahs which I can't recall now, but there's ayahs which also indicate the same point about the major sins. Yeah.
So does this previous sins mean just to put until the previous
prayer? I see. Yeah. Yeah, Allah, Allah, I don't know.
But now
I'm
talking about the obligatory prayers.
Actually, there's another, the second part also talks about praying as well. Because if you see what Uthman said, the last part, he said, if you do wudu and then do the obligatory prayer, then Allah will forgive the sins committed between that prayer and the next. So what's apparent is it's between the two, isn't it? So
but the other one about the sadness, that's correct.
Yeah, it may be, I don't know. Yeah, okay, inshallah. So that's the thing. So it wipes away the sins between that, as long as you stay away from the major sins. And then in another narration of the same thing about doing wudu and then praying, and the Prophet also said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, I don't remember the exact Arabic, but he said, and you should not be deceived, do not deceive yourself, or do not be amazed or deceived yourself. So you should pray you should do wudu, you should pray the prayer, and that will wipe away your sins, and you should not be, la taghtar anfusakum, that you don't feel amazed or deceived yourself. meaning that you should still feel like, if you're sincere, you shouldn't feel like, oh yeah, I'm now forgiven and I'm, you know.
I can do whatever.
Exactly. So the point is, you do the good deed and you're still fearful, and you still have a sense of, you know, still fearing Allah. Yeah. Does that make sense? So in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said that if you perform wudu and then pray, then your sins will be forgiven, and don't deceive yourself. Meaning that you should still be, you shouldn't think, oh, I'm okay now. You should still have a sense of fearing Allah and still trying to be good and avoid sins. Yeah, it's just another variant narration of the hadith. Okay, and then this is like the ayah, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. And those who give while their hearts are still fearful, because they will be returning to their Lord. So the point is, you should never become complacent, right? You do the good deed, you hope for the forgiveness, and inshallah we expect that. At the same time, we don't get complacent and think, oh yeah, it's all okay. Yeah. So you should do good and still have some fear as well. And Hassan al-Basri said that the believer does ihsan wa makhafa, which means that he does good and yet he's still fearful that it might not be accepted, or he might fall into sin later or something like that. Whereas the munafiq, he performs isa'a wa amn, that he does bad things and he has a sense of false sense of security that, oh, it's still okay, sort of thing. Yeah. Okay. So then similarly, the second part, that if you do wudu and you pray the compulsory prayer, then that also will forgive the sins between. Okay, and then the ayah which Uthman is mentioning, which encouraged him to make sure that he transmitted this information, إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون. Indeed, those who conceal what we have sent down of clear proofs and guidance after we made it clear for the people in the scripture, those are cursed by Allah and cursed by those who curse. Okay. Do you remember any other hadith which we did before which mentioned a similar concept, that this, the companions were afraid of this hadith? Remember anyone?
There was that private thing that the Prophet said to one of the companions, his riding companions.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal.
Yeah,
okay.
And he, at the end of his life, said that.
Yeah, exactly. So there was that. There was also Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Someone said, I don't see you narrating much of hadith. And he said, I'm just afraid of this. Well, actually, that's a slightly different scenario. But he was saying,
the one where you say something wrong.
Yeah, so he was saying that I'm afraid of saying something wrong. And then Abu Huraira said, he made the same point, that I don't want to conceal knowledge, that's why I'm narrating this and this. Okay? I think that's it, really, inshallah. Okay. This one I haven't prepared, really, so that's, I think, I'll do that next.